It's very interesting that the mice came out from his next door neighbor who saw what was going on, and he had to watch what was going on. It was so unusual that he decided he was gonna sort of eavesdrop. The Rebbetzin couldn't handle the poverty anymore. There was just no food in the house. We're talking poverty in the old city in those days. We're not talking about what we mean by poverty. We're talking about there was real poverty. People were dying of hunger. You know, there was no food in the house, no bread in the house. So she went to the neighbor, to this neighbor. I think it was one of the Rapoports. And she borrowed a loaf of bread, half a loaf of bread. I don't know exactly. So the Rav came home. And there was bread on the table. He washed him, made a motzi. And while he was chewing the food, the Rebbetzin said to him, I borrowed the bread. And that for him was like, that was like catastrophic. There was ein davar kaze. So, but this next door neighbor knew that this was something humongous. Yeah. So he was peeping through the window. He wanted to see what was going to happen here when the Rav came home and ate the borrowed bread. He wanted to see what was going on. So, the Rav, he ate a kazas, he benched, he got up, he put on his coat and he went outside. As he walked through the front door, he said, I can see she's not holding, I'll have to make more ishtadlis. I'm holding, but she's not. Calls him and she's not holding, so then I have to make more ishtadlis, because the Chovetz Chaim always brings that down, that the betochen a person has to be in matim with the people that is dependent on him as well. You know, the other people, you have responsibility to feed other people. Their betochen may not allow you to live on your level of betochen. For yourself, that's fine. You won't have bread. But she reloyachol. Anyway, so this I think it was a Rapoport. He followed Rabbi Yosef Chaim down. He wanted to see what ishtalis he's going to make. What's he going to do now? You know, at night time. And also, what's ishtalis he's going to make? So he walked, a few hundred meters from his house, whatever. He scraped around in the dust. He picked up two coins and he went home. That's a Maisa Shehoyo that was brought down by one of the Tzaddiki Yerushalayim of that generation, a neighbor of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, who told over this Maisa. That by him, that's called Ishtalis. But that's not the lesson here. Everybody goes, wow, you know, that's why I also kick around in the sun. I won't find gold coins. No, that's not the story here. The story here is he understood that for himself, he doesn't have to make more Ishtalis. By him, there was no Toilah Rishonis. If he would have come home and there wouldn't have been bread, he would have sat down and learned or did whatever he did. He wouldn't have had any problems with that. But he understood that the Tsar was causing his Rebbetzin that he has to make more ishtadlis. It's not just for us. The part of the knowing how much ishtadlis to make and where to make and whatever, also one has to take into account those that are dependent on him. Now, how much? Doesn't mean everything that your wife wants you give her and everything the kids want you give them. That's also requires chokhmah and wisdom and how to say no and when to say no. And is a chelek, okay, that's a personal discussion, each person in each situation. But you have to recognize that your betochen may be, and usually it's not like that. Usually the wives have got more betochen than us. But you have to recognize that your ishtadlis is not just dependent on you and your needs. Sometimes you have to make more ishtadlis because that's what the situation or the people, your family demand. You might be able to live on onions and bread and live in a damp basement, you know, and be very happy, be a big bal simcha, but people that are dependent and you may not be able to live like that. You might need more and they need less. Okay, each case has to be weighed up on its own merits. But okay, so what we've come away from here and from other work we've done in the work of betochen is the first thing you have to know is the ishtadlis is not what's making the panosa. That's the first thing. But you have to make ishtadlis. You have to make ishtadlis first and foremost because you've been tested to see whether you're gonna do it properly. Are you gonna be honest? Are you gonna be straight? Are you gonna be depending on your ishtadlis? Are you gonna depend on your efforts? Or are you gonna depend on Akash Baruch Hu? You can't change what you're gonna get. End of akaze. What you're gonna get, you're gonna get. No one can help you, no one can hurt you, no one can take away. Nobody call me Shaman, that's all part of the gzaira of Hashem and whatever Hashem decides. And that's good for us. Whatever it is, it's good. That's number one. And so then, why am I making ishtadlis? So the malach that he brings down is you're making ishtadlis because you're being mekadesh shem shamayim. You're being an honest Jew. You're dealing properly with people. You're not getting anxious. You're not getting upset. You're not... A very simple example. It can't happen today because people don't get post. But anyway, let's just say a guy's got a business. He comes into work and he gets his mail, which used to be in the old days. You know, the first thing of God that he came into business. He opened his mail, yeah? Opened his mail. He sat there with a letter opener, those knives, and he opened up his post. You remember those days? There was things like that, yeah? He had a whole gunsa thing on his desk. He had this letter opener. It was a gunsa. Phew, you know? with his name engraved on it, whatever. Yeah, anyway, I had one of those. Anyway, so you open your mail, and now this guy, oh, there's Reb David's got one. Yeah, you see, it's like, okay, old school, yeah. Use that for peeling your oranges now today, because you don't get mail. So you open up your mail, and there's a letter from a company, one of your clients, saying that you sent the account, the wrong account to us. You sent us the wrong account. It's not our account. And then there's another letter from somebody saying the same thing. What happened was, is the secretary, when she was sending out the accounts, she put the wrong account into the wrong envelope. So the wrong person got the wrong account. Now, this guy's trying to make an impression on his clients that he runs a tight ship. He's running a good business. He's very efficient, whatever. And now the secretary's gone and messed up. And now he looks like a fool. Now, how he deals with the secretary when she comes into work this morning will depend on how much he's trusting his efforts to make panos and how much he's trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he's a shtickle baal batak and he understands that the panos and what the clients think of him, et cetera, that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the secretary comes in, he'll speak very nicely to him and explain to him, listen, I see you made a mistake here. Please try and be more careful in future. Yeah, no, for sure. She has to be more careful. You're not supposed to make mistakes like that. Oh, but it happens. And it's not going to change his panos because his panos is from Hashem, not from the secretary. But if he's not such a big baal batak and the secretary comes in, oh, is she going to get it in the ear? Yeah, and that's a double poshut. The way your betochen is and how much you can divorce your ishtadis from your betochen will create your yeshiva das and your menuchas hanefesh. He's not going to get angst from it. He's not going to get upset by it. He's not going to have his blood pressure is not going to go up because of it. You understand? Secretary made a mistake. He has to point that out to her. That's his responsibility. And then he gets on with his life. But if he thinks it's all tolu on him and what people are going to think and his panos and this and that, he's going to have a terrible day. When he goes to Davin Mincha, he's still going to be coughing. Oh, stupid say, why didn't I fire her and how can I work? Your panosa comes from Hashem. So the secretary made a mistake. That's also from Hashem. And it's to test you to see how you're going to function, how you're going to behave. That's many areas in our lives that we have to deal with these nisoinus on a day-to-day basis. And you divorce your efforts from the end result, life becomes a lot more pleasant and a lot more enjoyable. When it's chinuch yolodim, we'll see. We'll get to the chapter on chinuch. It's the same thing. In all areas. You won't be kicking yourself, oh, what an idiot it was. Why didn't I buy that building? Why didn't I buy the shares? Why didn't I sell the shares? Why didn't I do that? Oh, yeah, I should have answered him like this. I should have said this. I should have. You run your whole life living in the past about all the should haves you should have done and you should have and you should. What are you talking about? Whatever you're going to get, you're going to get. Look, sure to your ishtadlis. Your ishtadlis is you have to be a mensch. You have to function properly. You have to deal in business with imuna. And what happens afterwards is not your business. So that's one of the benefits of living like this, like the Chovei Soloveitchik says, the essence of bitachon is yeshuva das and menuchas hanefesh. Person lives with tranquility. And by the way, it's not good for your health not to live with bitachon. People live without bitachon, so then they get anxiety, and then they have heart attacks, God forbid, and their blood pressure goes up, and then all sorts of medical problems. The bitachon is worthwhile having just for your health. It's a worthwhile thing to go a little bit further with on a daily basis. So person has to first of all sit down and work out where my holding in the tochen. No, mama, face yourself. It's painful sometimes to see where we're holding. Not for sure. Acknowledge where you're holding. We know what the ideal is. We've discussed the ideal many times. I'm not gonna hash that out again. And see, okay, where can I stretch my betochen a little bit? Where can I flex my muscles a little bit in this area? Try and mechazik a little bit in an area which is, first of all, easy. Start with something. Don't start with something that you're going to fail. Start with something where you can be matzliach. Don't let the Yetzer Hara fool you into thinking, ah, anyone can do that. That's nothing. Take on something, you know. Come on, be a man. You know, yeah, I can do it. You know, no, because you're going to fail, and then you're going to set back years. Take on something small, something you can do, and then you'll build on that, and then build on that, and then slowly, slowly you'll develop. And you keep doing this exercise, and then the muscles start developing, and you daven, you have to daven. There's a tefillin in the siddur, there's a tefillah, ala tzadikim. Yeah, in the siddur, ala tzadikim, that's the tefillah for betochen. Mamash in the Shmone Esrei, ala tzadikim v'ala chasodim, ala chasidim v'al zikne amcha b'Yisrael v'al pleite sefrim ogeri atzelik v'elin gerim urochamech the saint sachatov l'chol aboitchim b'shimcho b'emes. Give good reward, whatever that is, to all those that trust in your name b'emes v'simchal keinu imohem lo'ilom. This is Nusach Sfad. No, Lo'ilam. Okay, oh, you're right. The Simchal Kenim Moim Lo'ilam. And put our portion with them. These that are Boitchim B'Shimcha B'Emes, I want to be part of them. I also want to be Boitach B'Shimcha B'Emes. That's a tefillah for B'tochen. B'chad Hashem Mishonu Miftoch LaTzadikim. That's the bottom line. And when you put your trust in Hashem, even when you just start, you don't have to be a Baal B'tochen. You have to be somebody who's Isaac B'tochen. I said that many times here. All these difficult sugyas, you don't have to have achieved it. Tshuva as well. When a person starts working on tshuva, he's Isaac B'tshuva. Hashem's Mala love as if he was Chayze B'tshuva. Same as B'tochen. You start working a little bit in B'tochen. Hashem says, oh, he's Isaac B'tochen. Bucha Geva Hashem Yiftach B'Hashem V'hoi Hashem Yiftachoi. Hashem says, okay, I'll help you. I see you need me. There's a duck somewhere in Mishlei that says this. When a person thinks he can do it himself, Hashem says, he doesn't need me, so I'll leave him to his own devices. I'm going to go help somebody who needs me. When Hashem says, wow, this guy thinks he needs me, far, I better go help him. I don't know, when Hashem's helping him, can you go wrong? Yeah, that's the thought. Yes, Baruch.
The whole thing about the secretary, let's say a client comes to you with a complicated problem, he gives 8 hours of research. It's not going to come from me, it's all Hashem. So why don't you spend more than 2 hours? If someone wants to bring you the answer to this problem, 2 hours should be sufficient. Why don't you spend 8 hours?
You're mixing two sugyas. You're mixing the sugya of betochen and ishtadlis. In the world of ishtadlis, you have to make ishtadlis. Whatever that's called, whatever the ishtadlis for this particular job is. If this is a case, whether it's a legal case or a medical case, whatever, that usually takes about 8 hours to do research in, then you have to make the ishtadlis, which is 8 hours of research.
But the intermingle
these two. We have to separate them. Our job is to tease them apart. You're right. There's always going to be a place where they touch. That's not my business. My business is, first of all, to know. I'm in the world of ishtadlis now.
I know that even though brilliant solution comes from Hashem, not any of my
efforts. You have to do ishtadlis. You have to do ishtadlis. If the ishtadlis for this particular piece of surgery is it's an 8 hour surgery, don't book the operating theater for 6 and say, well, Hashem will do the other 2 hours. I'm going to do 6 hours, then I'm going to go learn, and we'll leave the patient and Hashem will stitch him up afterwards. No, that's not ishtadlis. You're in the world of ishtadlis now. You're in the world of ishtadlis. When you want to know whether you can put the pot back onto the stove on Shabbos, you don't open up Hilchos Brachos. It's a different sugya. In the world of ishtadlis, what is called ishtadlis here, or what is called betochen, they're the two separate discussions. If once again, how you determine how much ishtadlis you should be making, that's another story. Another guy might be able to do that work in 6 hours. He works quicker, whatever. I don't know. You might be able to have a little bit of betochen and say, you know what, I'm gonna put my koichas into this and whatever, and maybe I'll see if I'm finished early, then I will stop and I will go learn. I don't know, but you have to do what's called normal ishtadlis. You have, especially when it's for somebody else. You're being paid to do a job. Now it's more than just ishtadlis. now it's dinei choshen mishpat as well. If you get hired to make a pair of shoes for somebody, he's paying you to make a pair of shoes. You better make the shoes well. You better make them properly. You better make them l'shem shemaim. You better do it good. No, betochen, I'll mess around and this guy walk out of here and he won't be able to walk properly because your shoes you made were terrible. No. That's also not available. And sometimes you have to know the ishtadlis we're making is more than just ishtadlis. It's mitzvah. Tisiyahu brings us down in Chovas HaLevavos there. The person who's Isaac in his ishtadlis, but the ishtadlis also is a mitzvah. Not the always mitzvah of ishtadlis, another mitzvah. Let's say he's raising money to, he has a fund that raises money for colors. Yeah, or he's a yeshiva, he's raising money for yeshiva, whatever. So his ishtadlis is mitzvah. Therefore, he says you have to do everything you can. You can't just say, okay, well, look, you know, I'll make a few calls and whatever comes in, because then it's all from Hashem anyway. No, your Isaac per mitzvah, you have to do adasof. Sometimes in our own personal lives, that's also mitzvah, like Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld going off and kicking in the dust to go find some coins because his wife can't handle the poverty anymore. Kenzan, that's not begin ishtadlis anymore, that's begin a mitzvah. Let's begin a mitzvah, you have to do more than what's called ishtadlis. It's hard to know how you divide those, but that's also important to remember. But you have to do your job properly. You've been paid by a client to do something. You have to do it properly. But they're honest. That's what Hashem's testing you. But it's all going to come in the end. It's from Hashem. That's not your business. You have to make ishtadlis. First, you have to make ishtadlis. The end result's got nothing to do with you. with you. I've told this Maisa before, yeah, but it illustrates the point. I'll show you what I mean. Halacha, from my own experience, is I have a donor that sends us money every Erev Pesach, but it's the feeder Goyish calendar usually. So Pesach doesn't always stem so well with the end of the month, you see. So sometimes the end of the month is after Pesach, you see. So for me, that's a problem because I need the money before Pesach. It doesn't help me giving Pesach bonuses and helping people and whatever, and Mal Shechitin before, after Pesach. It's before Pesach. So I felt it was correct. Ishtadlis, I emailed this fund and whatever and asked him, if it's possible, we'll get the money before Pesach. So the secretary writes back and says, if you haven't got the money by the end of the month, be in touch with us. No, the end of the month's after Pesach. Just ask, you want to give before Pesach. She says, if you haven't got it by the end of the month, be in touch with me. So what do I do? If Hashem wants the money to come before Pesach, come before Pesach. If not, I've done my ishtadlis. I have to do more than that. Anyway, that's fine when you're a month away, yeah? But when you're 2 weeks away and you're a week away and the money still hasn't come, you start getting nervous, you know? So now the lachats, do I make ishtadlis? Don't I make ishtadlis? Anyway, I couldn't anymore. I really felt that I shouldn't make more ishtadlis. But then I decided I couldn't anymore. And I whipped off another email saying, you know, it's Erev Pesach and we need the money and blah, 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 blah. And the next day, the money was in my account. So for sure. For sure, that was because I sent the email that the money came into my account, of course. I mean, if I hadn't sent the email, the money wouldn't have come, nachon. So I felt terrible. I really felt I shouldn't have sent that email. I shouldn't have sent the email because you see, the money came anyway, whatever, you know. Or maybe it came because you got the email. Ich weiß nicht. I don't know. But anyway, I happened to mention it to my Rav. We had a vad in Chovas Lavavos that night. I mentioned to my Rav this story. So he said to me, Begeta Hishtadlis, in the world of the Hishtadlis, you did exactly the right thing. You did the right thing. Now you have an assignment in Betochen. But you did the right thing. He said, how do you know he got the email? Maybe he never even got the email. You don't know. You don't know if you got the email. No, you don't know if you got the email. It means Begeta Hishtadlis, there was the right thing to do. You're responsible to pay people whatever you need the money. You're a gabbai stalker, you have to distribute these funds, or it's a business thing, you have to pay rent, whatever it is. Begeta Hishtadlis was the right thing to do. The guy's not sending the money. You want the money. Begeta Hishtadlis says, you're asking, please, can you send the money? That's not a chosorin in too much Hishtadlis. Maybe for Yosef HaTzadik, that would have been, you know, he would have got another 10 years in prison because he sent off the email. Maybe for Yosef HaTzadik. Well, for me, the law is Hishtadlis. Now you have an Isonin Betochen. Was it the email? Wasn't it the email? Was it my effort? It wasn't your effort. Get that out of your head. Drive that shtus out of your head. It wasn't because you sent the email that you got the money. You would have got the money anyway. How do you know? Maybe I wouldn't. Yeah, okay. That's where the B'riyat Tzara starts about Bel Yorosh. Kenzani never even got the email. You'd already sent the money before you got the email. How do you know? You don't know. I had another incident similar to that where Kosh Bochu showed me Zelokashut your Ishtadlis. Bichlal, Bichlal, you think it's your Ishtadlis? Do me a favor. It's not. You have to daven also, by the way. When you do something like that, you have to daven that the Ishtadlis, you don't mubalbel, you don't get confused by the effort you're making. So you see that this is a sugi that's more mukav, it's more complex, it's more difficult. You have to break it down into a place where you can enjoy it, where you can play with it. I've spoken a lot, yeah, a lot of different things from different areas, and he's spoken a lot, but you have to make it for you, real. It has to be, you have to sit down with yourself and you have to see, okay, so where am I going to be mishtadl in this sugya to go further with my betochen? How am I going to do it? There's a lot, yeah, you can't take it all in, it's too much. Our heads can't handle all of it. We said that right in the beginning, when you start dealing with betochen, there are too many shittas and too many mahalchim and too many different things. And they're all real and they're all true and they're all good. And you have to know which one to use when. It's like an artisan. He has a bag full of different kalim. And you have to know, if you want to drill a hole, you don't use a saw. If you want to knock a nail into the wall, you don't use an electric drill. You use a hammer. You have to know which tool to use when. You have to sit down and you have to do a cheshbon for yourself. First of all, where am I holding in betochen? And then see, okay, is this the right ishtadlis? Am I making enough ishtadlis? Maybe not making enough ishtadlis. That's a whole sugi on its own, by the way. While we're on there, let's just focus on that for a few minutes. It's a big, big sugi. If Desla goes into this, barichas. Let me just come back to that well-worn yalkut. The famous yalkut that he brings there with the four kings. The vote is, it's not always tolle on your dagger of betochen will determine how much ishtadlis you have to make. Could be someone in a very, very high level of betochen. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai has to make very little ishtadlis, almost no ishtadlis. Reb Chanina ben Doisa, he didn't have to make ishtadlis to go look for oil. He just lit vinegar. He had to make some ishtadlis. He couldn't light nothing. Why did he just light fresh air? What they've given light vinegar for, so that we can have a nice tikkul gemara that we can say, wow, Reb Chanina ben Doisa. Yeah. The one who says oil will burn will say vinegar will burn. The one who said oil will burn will say fresh air will burn. Well, why didn't he just click his fingers and make fire? I don't know. Yeah, you had to make some ishtadlis. Don't think it was ishtadlis. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai also had to make some ishtadlis. He had to go out and pick the carobs and put them in his mouth and chew them and swallow them. That's also called ishtadlis. Yeah. So these were great people who had to make some kind of ishtadlis, minimal of all, some kind of ishtadlis. Yeah. But it's not always tolu on your level of betochen that determines how much ishtadlis you make. Sometimes a person can be on a very low level of betochen, and it's too dangerous for him to make too much ishtadlis, because he'll start thinking that the ishtadlis is what's doing it. Therefore, he has to minimize his ishtadlis. Sometimes he has to make the ishtadlis to see that the ishtadlis doesn't do anything. You have to take it to break it. You take the medication to realize the medication doesn't do anything. It's not the medication, it's a Hashem. You have to make the ishtadlis to break the ishtadlis, to make you realize that the ishtadlis. So therefore, you might have to make more ishtadlis. You might have to make more ishtadlis. There's a Gemara. I can't remember where this Gemara is. There's a Gemara. He says there that my father was much greater than me. I'm vinegar, the son of wine. My father was wine, I'm vinegar. So he was much greater than me. Why was he greater than me? Because he could go out and check his business dealings twice a day, and I can only go once. Huh? That's strange, no? He can go out and check his fields and his possessions twice a day, but I can only go once. He's greater than me. So Adarabba, Rudesli explains. He could go out twice a day. That means he could make more ishtadlis, and it wouldn't affect him. He knew that it had nothing to do with ishtadlis. It was all from Hashem. If I make more ishtadlis, if I go out more than once a day, I'm going to start thinking it was me. That's too dangerous. And the Lohola said, so my father was greater than me. So it's counterintuitive. We would think the greater the person, the less ishtadlis. The more the less the person, the more ishtadlis. No, it's not always like that. And we see that from the Yalkut. There were four kings.
But it is counterintuitive. Because if he knew, then why is he going out twice a day? Why is that the problem?
His father. We'll see the Yalkut now. We'll see by the Yalkut. We'll see. We have to try and understand this. Let's just see the Yalkut. Yalkut is Madim. This is really where the sugya becomes massive, fascinating. Who? I haven't seen him. I don't remember. I don't think so, no. If Tats in the beginning of the world marked, huh? You can see the Yalkut there, haven't you? Rav Tats in World Mosque brings it, he goes into it at length. Yeah, that's Rav Dessa. That's Rav Motcha Miller tapes that I'm breaking this on. Yeah, that's the same. I got them from Rav Tats. The Rav Motcha Miller shirim on that he gave in Gateshead from Rav Dessler. So when I quote Rav Dessler, it could be I'm quoting Rav Motcha Miller, because he himself said he doesn't know when he says over something if it's his or Rav Dessler's, because he was so attuned to Rav Dessler, whatever he says anyway is Rav Dessler. So when I quote Rav Dessler, it could be that I heard it from Rav Motcha Miller, it could be I saw it in the Michtam Eliyahu, and I lezoche. So, I heard it from Rav Tetz, who heard it from Rav Motcha Miller. So the Yalkut goes something like this. The four kings, there was David, Asaph, Yeshufat, and Chizkiyahu. Okay? So David HaMelech says, listen to this Yalkut. David HaMelech says, I will pursue my enemies, I will overtake them, and I will conquer them, I will kill them. Yeah? Asaph says, I think it was Asaph or Yeshufat, I get them mixed up. I'll pursue my enemies, and I'll overtake them, but I can't finish them off. Ani lo yochol, ze lo, I can't. Yehoshaphat says, I can pursue my enemies. I can't even pursue my enemies, but I can daven to Hashem. Chizkiyahu Melech says, I can't even daven to Hashem. I can't sing Shira. Unfortunately, said they sing Shira means to daven to Hashem. I'm going to bed. He went to bed. In every one of those four cases, Hashem's response is exactly the same. Hafla. Hashem says, Vani oisekein, I'll take care of it. Now, in Asaph, Yehoshaphat, and Chizkiyahu, you understand the response. Asaph says, I'll pursue them, I'll overtake them, but I can't kill them. So Hashem says, Vani oisekein, I'll finish them off, don't worry, and that's what happened. Shofat says, I can't even pursue them, but I'll daven. Hashem says, fine, I'll take care of it. Chizkiyahu HaMelech says, I'm going to bed. Don't forget to say, I'm uphill. And he goes to bed, and Hashem says, Ani Oseh Kein. But David HaMelech didn't ask Hashem to do anything. He said, I'm taking care of everything. I'm doing everything. Ani Oseh Hakol. I'll overtake them, I'll pursue them, I'll kill them, I'll wipe them out. Ani Oseh Et Hakol. I don't need you, Hashem. Chas V'Chalila. Hashem says, Ani Oseh Kein. I'll take care of it. What's going on here? So the vault's like this. Each of these kings understood that the epitome of a Jew is to be fully actualized, doing what you're supposed to be doing, but reflecting Hashem in the world, not yourself. That's the tachlis of a king. A king is less lemigami klum, he has nothing of his own. He's a reflection, he's supposed, that's Mashiach. Mashiach is supposed to be completely transparent. When you look at him, you see Hashem, not him. David's perfectly suited for the job. He didn't even have his own years. He had to borrow years from Adam. He had nothing of his own. David had nothing of his own. So when David goes out and pursues the enemies, overtakes them and kills them, you know what you see? And you see Hashem taking care of it. Asaph felt that if he would finish off the job, he would attribute it to his own success on his level. He has to leave space where it's Ani Oseh Kein, where you see Hashem taking care of it, not me. Yehoshaphat felt if he would even pursue his enemies, if he would even make some ishtadlus to pursue them, he might attribute the success to his own efforts. So he davened. Davened for sure. Chizkiyahu was so worried that if he would even daven, he would attribute the success to his own davening. So therefore he went to sleep. Say klum. Now who's on the higher level, yeah? If you look at this superficially, you'd say, well, Chizkiyahu's on the highest level. Like a schmuck, you can just go to sleep and Hashem takes care of it. That was Sancheirev. Hashem, the plague hit Sancheirev's armies and he wiped out the whole armies at night while Chizkiyahu was sleeping. Well, I can get into that. That's a level I like. Yeah, I'd like to be a chosid of Chizkiyahu. Yeah, you sleep the whole day and Hashem takes care of everything. Wouldn't that be a schmuck? You snuggle up there in your down duvet and you sleep the whole day and Hashem takes care of everything. Wow, that's a big level. No, he's the lowest level. The lowest level. David HaMelech's the highest level. Why? Because David HaMelech can do everything he's supposed to do and not for one nanosecond things have got anything to do with him. He was said, Kol HaIshtadlus, but he knows it's Ani Oseh Kein. Hashem's taking care of it. So that's totally counterintuitive. That's completely the opposite of how we would think. Hashem put us in this world to function. He didn't put us in this world to do nothing. Who needs Chizkiyahu in this world? You go to sleep and Hashem kills Sancheirev. Wow, well done, Hashem. Big deal. That's not what it's about. That's what it's about. Now, Chizkiyahu, I'm not speaking against Chizkiyahu. I'm talking about for me. His father's greater than him because he can go and do everything he has to do and be functioning in this world and doing what he's supposed to be doing. He knows it's got nothing to do with him. I'm on a much lower level because I'll make a little bit more ishtadlus. I start thinking it's me. I send off an email. I start thinking, yeah, because my email, that's where the money came. It's Rich Lizahir, Paul. David HaMelech could do everything. He could go out there and function fully, fully. And you know that. There are people like that they're out there working and they're in business. They're making money and they're giving tons of stock and whatever. And when you meet them, you know it's not them. There are very few like that. That's an issue and most people don't survive. Most people think it's the Koichavei Tzimyodi. You know, they'll say, yeah, Boch Hashem, it's all from Shemaim. When they lose money, yeah, it's all from Hashem. When they make money, it's because he was a clever guy. There are a few rare, there was a Jew called Moshe Reichman, Zal, who was like that. He knew it was Lo Kashur Lai Bichlal. Lo Kashur Bichlal. Nothing to do with him. And knew it wasn't his money also. That's why he was able to give so much of it away, because it wasn't his money. You get hidden like that. But he functioned fully, fully actualized. Hashem says, Vani Oseh Kein. So that's also a person has to cheshbon into his equation here. When you make ishtadlus, how much are you going to attribute to your ishtadlus and how much are you going to attribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And you have to weigh up your ishtadlus based on that as well. Maybe making too much ishtadlus. It's dangerous. You'll start attributing the success to your ishtadlus. Nothing could be worse than that. Now, on our level, how does that fit in? Because we're not David Hashem, we're not even Chizkiyahu. If we would go to sleep and know that Hashem would take care of it, so then good, then you're holding. Chizkiyahu was on some level. You know, you're surrounded by Sancheirev's troop, all of Klal Yisrael's in mortal danger, and you sleep? The Yalkut could have just said David HaMelech did nothing. Well, I have to stop you. I've gone over time. Why does the Yalkut tell us he went to sleep? You could sleep. Yeah? They're foreclosing on the mortgage tomorrow. You're going to go to sleep tonight? You'll stop all night saying to heal him. Why didn't Chizkiah do that? Because if he does anything, he's worried. He'll attribute us. He went to sleep. Okay, that's some darga, yeah? All right, to be continued. Now we have to stop. It's too late now. Rewolitsky is going to start. When I'm in Beit Shemesh, I have to be careful. Fire breathing down my neck, yeah. Okay. All right, Rabbi Isaac. A lot to think about, yeah? Lo pashut. A lot to think about. A lot to go home and meditate on. Have a good one. Take care.
Thank you, Rav Shah.